Father in heaven, we thank you for revealing yourself to us, especially through your word. We pray that you speak to us through your word, to our minds, and deeply into our hearts, so that in our hearts we'll respond deeply into your hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is the third Sunday in Epiphany, and our focus this afternoon or this morning will be on the gospel passage that was read to us in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And this is, of course, concerning an event, an occasion that we are all familiar with, the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And I've decided to entitle my sermon based on this passage as Jars of Blessing, Jars of Blessing. Now the psalmist in chapter 77, verse 14 of the book of Psalms proclaims and says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." Now we know that magicians and illusionists, when they are very good, can defy our imagination as well as the laws of nature, and sometimes in very spectacular ways. I still remember how I see an aeroplane behind a screen disappearing, and also an elephant. But we know it's all magic, it is all an illusion, void of reality. God, however, can override and transcend nature and even his own laws. And it is all reality. It is all real. Now, in Epiphany, in this season, we know that this is a time in which we remember that God in Christ is revealed or manifested. Christ was manifested miraculously in his birth, which we remember not too long ago. And in Epiphany today in particular, we are thinking about Christ's first miracle in Cana, where he miraculously turned water into wine. And this also resulted in the glory of God being shown and his power being manifested and seen by those who were present. Now, I believe that Christ can also manifest his presence and power in each of our lives through an epiphany experience. What, therefore, can our epiphany experience be like? I have here a definition of an epiphany, which says that an epiphany is a moment of sudden and great revelation and realization. A moment of sudden and great revelation and realization. Of course, this is a secular definition of epiphany. But for us as believers, can we believe that our epiphany experience will defy our expectation or imagination? This is what I would like us to think about. And can the wedding in Cana that we are going to look further into indicate to us God's epiphany experience for each one of us? The miracle at the wedding in Cana. Now we see that everyone was having a good time, enjoying themselves as they celebrate the occasion with the bride and the groom, until something happened, and that something that happened was that the wine ran out. This was an emergency. How could they possibly continue the celebration with no more wine in that culture and context, this really was an emergency. Yesterday, I attended a wedding, and after the wedding, there was a celebration in which food was catered, very good food, I might say. And if the food had run out halfway through the celebration, that would be terrible. Not only for the guests who were there, some of whom had eaten, others yet to taste the food, and certainly would be a great embarrassment for the bride and groom. It was that kind of a situation that we are thinking about when we say that when the wine ran out, it was an emergency situation. Yes, it could be a terrible embarrassment for the bridegroom as the host. Fortunately, Mary was there, and I suspect that Mary was perhaps a close friend or even a relative of the bridal party. And so she rose to the occasion, and she sought the help of her son, Jesus. Now, this was rather an unexpected, and certainly was also unexpected for Jesus to be called upon to help in this situation. Maybe because he thought that he was a guest. And certainly as a guest, you are there to enjoy yourself and not to troubleshoot, as it were. Mary, of course, knows her son well. And she knows that he would, and that he also could help. That's why perhaps she asked him. And she also asked the servants to do exactly what Jesus tells them, to overcome this situation. As Jesus looked around, he saw the 6 stone water jars. And these stone water jars are used normally for ceremonial washing purposes. And he asked the servants to fill up these 6 stone water jars to the brim with water, which they did. Now, I want you to notice a few things about these jars. First of all, these jars were available and they were ready for Jesus to use. The second thing to remember and to note is that they could be used at the right time when Jesus needed them. And the third thing is that we notice that these jars could be used in more ways than one, not only for ceremonial purposes, but for other purposes as well. And as the jars were filled with water, Jesus then asked for some of the water which had by now turned into wine or nearly turned into wine or whatever, and that these, and that from this, from the wine in the jars, a sample was to be given to the master of ceremony to taste. And when he tasted it, he was astounded because this wine was exceptionally good. It was superior wine, much, much better than what the guests had been drinking all along, and which they gladly finished as well. But this wine is exceptional. Of course, the master of ceremonies did not realize that this was water that had miraculously turned into superior wine. And what he did was to discreetly inquire of the bridegroom, how come this wine that is superior was not given to the guests in the first place? In other words, why did you give the inferior wine or the mediocre wine to your guests and that you have kept this superior wine to the last? Why save the best for last? The master of ceremony thought. Now, these 6 jars meant for ceremonial washing have now become jars of blessing. Jars of blessing. They were all the time being used for a religious purpose, but now Jesus had used them for a practical purpose, which is to help the bridegroom. And not only that, but he also used this for a spiritual purpose, which is to do the work of a miracle, to perform a miracle. Now, the bridegroom was not aware of what Jesus had done. And even if he did, even if he had known that Jesus had done this, he would still be mystified by the miraculous change of water into wine. And this situation, which could be a great embarrassment for the bridal party, reveals to us that Jesus was not just an ordinary guest, but that his glory was revealed through this miraculous act, which was one of the intended purposes. So this was the beginning of the Christ being revealed as more than a mere man, but God in the flesh through this miraculous act. Now we want to think about ourselves as we relate to this particular incident or event in Cana. There are two things I want us to relate to this event. The first is that miracles can occur in our lives through the tasting of the superior wine. Now, if Jesus can miraculously save the bridegroom from embarrassment, then Jesus can miraculously do more than save us from embarrassment and also to glorify himself in the process. It'll be no issue for Jesus to do something more than to save us from embarrassment if that something that is more important need to be done in our lives. And Jesus definitely could do that and glorify himself. Let's take a look at the nondescript stone jars. Now, these jars, we know, were used for ceremonial cleansing, which actually was a part of the old covenant system, whereby ritual or ceremonial cleansing was important in their belief. And after the instructions given by Jesus to the servants, they now contain wine, and we know that wine is often associated with a new covenant. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, it speaks about the new wine. New wine shouldn't be put in the old wine skin. These six jars were then used by Jesus beyond their normal usage. From being ceremonial jars in the old covenant to become jars of blessing in the new covenant. And the superior wine in these jars speak of the new covenant superiority to the old covenant, which is what Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 refers to. And it speaks of more than that. It speaks of the blessings of the new covenant being available to all who desire and seek after it. In other words, this blessing of the new covenant, as exemplified in the superior wine, is available to any and every person who desires it without exception. And so we can say that this miracle Jesus performed in producing the superior wine symbolizes the mission of Christ to change the emptiness that's found in man's religion into a living, joyful relationship with the Lord that is available to all without exception. This superior wine is the living water. This superior wine is the true light. This superior wine is the abundant life. This superior wine is the eternal life. This superior wine is the everlasting peace. This superior wine is joy unspeakable. Have you tasted this superior wine yet? Is this something new to you? Or can you say in your heart, as we relate the story and what happened, that yes, I know this superior wine, I have tasted it, or it is something so foreign to you? Now, if you love wine, and I'm sure that quite a number of you here drink wine, and maybe some of you are connoisseurs, very good in picking out good wines, character-wise and taste-wise, you will, without a problem, pass by wines that are mediocre. You won't think about trying to taste it because you know it's mediocre. It's not worth your time to taste it. But will you pass by a superior wine? I drink wine, but not that much. Some people do it every day, but I don't. And I know something about what's good and what's not so good. And from the early days when I started to drink wine and become familiar with wines, I realized that a label that is well recognized as superior is Penfold Grange. Some of you may have already tasted it. And I told myself, I really would like to taste this superior wine. But it's so expensive. I couldn't afford it. Then a few years ago, I happened to be in my nephew's house over the Chinese New Year season. And he produces a bottle of Penfold Grange. And he asked me, would you like to try it? You know, he didn't have to ask. I would just say directly to him when I see it, I want to try it. So I tasted it, and I knew exactly what a really superior wine is all about. I couldn't resist it. I had more than my fair share, although I was very conscious that I should share it with those relatives around me. But that's what happened. When you recognize something as superior, a wine that is superior, you just cannot ignore it. You cannot bypass it. You must have a taste of it. And you know the superior wine that we are talking about concerning Jesus Christ. He represents the superior wine, our Lord Jesus. Can we pass by or pass him by? He doesn't cost us anything. If you were to buy a bottle of Penfold Grange, it will cost you several hundred dollars. But the superior wine that we see in Jesus is free. It's readily available anytime we want it. We can seek Christ and he will give us this superior wine. So I encourage you, if you have never tasted this superior wine, to let this be your epiphany experience today, whereby perhaps for the first time you've come to taste this superior wine in Jesus Christ, to receive this superior wine in Jesus Christ. You will be receiving the sacrament. And you may do that every week when you come to church. We know what a sacrament is. Something physical that denotes a spiritual blessing. We remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who offered us his body and his blood. Yes, we are blessed when we take the bread and the wine representing the body and the blood of Christ sacramentally. But you know, you can sacramentally do that without actually spiritually receiving and tasting the superior wine of Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you have never actually spiritually received Christ in your heart, that is to receive that spiritual wine, or rather superior wine in you, that you can do so, because Jesus will gladly give you of himself as a superior wine today. So you can have this as your epiphany experience. The second miracle in our lives that I want to focus on is being a miracle ourselves. Now, in another important way, these are six jars of blessing. And I like to suggest that these jars represent each one of us, that we can see ourselves as these jars. You know, we are ordinary people, and these are ordinary jars that Jesus used. And if these ordinary jars can be used in such an important way, then we as ordinary people, we can also be used by Christ when we make ourselves available, just as these jars are always available to be used. So if we allow God to use us, just as these jars allow Jesus to use them, if we allow God to use us, what he will do is to fill us with what will bless others richly when we are poured out for them. So if we become like these jars and we submit our lives to God and God fills us with what he wants to be used to be a blessing to others when poured out, he will do it. And so through each one of us, the Lord can produce the very best that will be a blessing to others. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you, an ordinary person, if you submit your life to God and say, God, I want to be used like these jars, he will pour into you something of himself that when poured out will be the very best. So through us, God can and will do great things. Limited as we are, imperfect as we are, insecure as we are, ordinary as we are, God can and will do great things. So when we allow ourselves to be used by God, he will be ready to perform miracles through us. And these miracles that he will do through each of our lives will bring glory to him. So my question to you, brothers and sisters, do you want to see and trust God to do a miraculous work in your life for others as part of an epiphany experience? You know, we have no problem believing that God performs miracles. What we read in the Bible, we do not question. We believe that, yes, God, in his sovereignty, has performed miracles. We accept that. But I want to issue a challenge to all of you, that you also believe that he can do so through you, that he can perform a miracle through you, in the same way that Jesus performed a miracle through the ordinary jars. So when we make ourselves available and allow him to use us, that miracle can take place, because we are talking about a God who performs miracles. So that our ordinary lives, even as we continue to live ordinarily, can become miraculous, because God will use us to pour forth whatever he wants to bless others with as a result of the miracles that he will work in our lives. And I believe that God can and that God wants to do that. But do you believe it or not? Let this be a wonderful epiphany experience for you. Let this be a time where perhaps for the first time you realize that, yes, ordinary as I am, there's no barrier, there's no hindrance to God using me to be a blessing miraculously in the lives of the people that he wants us to touch. And all this will be for his glory, to serve his purpose. Let us believe it, so that this epiphany will be one that you will experience like never before. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you give us the courage to trust you, that you give us, Lord, the faith to believe in you, that no matter who we are, ordinary as we are, imperfect as we are, insecure as we are, that we will not allow all these negative beliefs that we have held so long to become a stumbling block to the miracles that you want to perform in the life of each and every one of us. So may we, Father, in our lives, surrender ourselves to you fully, that we may be like the jars to become jars of blessing, lives of blessing, even though we are so limited and so ordinary, because we have a God who is great, a God who performs miracles, a God who wants to perform miracles in each of our lives, so that the glory of God will be seen and be manifested, that our epiphany experience will truly be a joyous one, a glorious one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.